The comptroller submitting an informational report on other post-employment benefits as of January 1st, 2012. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Manske.
Scott Manske, comptroller from Milwaukee County. This report is the evaluation report, which we do every 2 years, of the other post-employment benefits. Milwaukee County provides health care benefits to retirees, certain eligible retirees, based upon them having the majority is for people who started prior to January 1st, 1994, and with 15 years of service. The calculation was done by Willis. A representative from Willis is here today in case you have any questions on that. The table on the front page of the report indicates that the valuation back in 2010 showed a liability for the future of $1,465,000,000, and based upon the most recent valuation, that amount is now $1,135,000,000, or a reduction of $330,000,000 to the actuarial accrued liability. Included in their report were some of the items that have changed from the previous valuation that changed some of the amounts. We're continuing to include certain trend assumptions, and certain changes have been made to the Medicare Part B provision. And on the second page, the last two items, medical coverage has been changed to a Medicare carve-out, and the prescription drug coverage has been changed to a new plan. So we wanted to provide you the full report from the actuary and have it presented to you so that you were aware of what the results were of that that amount. The requirement that the county has under its accounting rules is that we're only required to accrue this cost for the airport and for any of the other internal service funds, which includes IMSD and trying to think of the last one, risk management. So the only ones that accrue it, otherwise it's a pay-as-you-go basis. So we don't have any, similar to a pension plan, we don't have any liability that is set aside or any reserves that are set aside for these. It's on a pay-as-you-go basis.
Any comments, questions from committee members?
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. Could you talk a little bit more about the trend assumption on health insurance costs? And that seems like that would be the sort of a big variable. It sort of spiked up to 9% for 12, and then it scales back 1% a year until we go back to 5% in 16. How is, you know, I'm assuming that's a big piece of the calculation, and what that's based on, or how we arrived at that.
Historically, in the previous valuation report, we had a similar methodology that the actuary had used. They look at the current trends that are in the marketplace and what health care costs have been. In the previous report, as in this report, there was a trending down that went down to about a 5% level. The actuary was seeing that it was still in a 8 to 9% range for those amounts, thought that that would be a reasonable assumption based upon what they're seeing in the marketplace. I can have them make a comment about that also.
Okay.
I'm Cleet Anderson from Willis. We prepared the report. Excuse me. The trend table, this is a fairly typical approach to trend on a retiree medical valuation, which is to have it step down like it does. And even though historically trends haven't been doing that, that's been the accepted practice, in part because if you take a long-term view of trend, if we assume that healthcare kept going up by 9, 10, 12% a year and inflation is 3%, the percentage of the you would extrapolate that healthcare would become an unacceptable percent of the GDP. Perhaps it already is. But essentially, that's the methodology, which is to have a trend that steps down the assumption that it just can't stay that high forever. What will happen also when we redo valuations is that we always chew things up. So if we thought trend was going to be 9 and it was actually 8 or 3 or 6, we'll always pick that up and then start over. So even if the trend is off in the short run, it's always recaptured when we redo the valuation.
All right. But so does that – is that the biggest factor in the change, in the $330 million? Is that
– Well, there have been plan changes as well.
Yeah.
Among others, the carve-out approach on the Medicare reduces the claims substantially on the Medicare regular medical. Recently adopted an EGWP, a so-called EGWP plan, which is the Scott mentioned, which is the revised prescription drug approach. It would provide additional savings, so that was rather than a takeaway, it was actually a cost reduction. So those are probably two big things. And also a couple of years ago, and I don't remember all the details here, but there was also another change then, which was I forget which plan was changed was then, but there's been several plan changes that have occurred.
Right.
I think what you're going to see is in the previous valuation report, they had a similar trend. They were using the 9.8765 type of trend that was going on, and this one is doing the same type of a thing. You have about the same amount of population. The population really hasn't decreased much. The people who are receiving the benefits, so people, you know, who have died and no longer in the plan, people who are receiving benefits from the plan, that really hasn't changed a lot. So the biggest change that has occurred in the reduction has been the plan changes that have occurred over the recent years. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to put those in there. Because when they do the valuation, the report, the actuary is going to look at what's causing the changes between the two, and then they list those out directly in their report. And so they provide those, and those are some of the major changes. So the population total hasn't changed that much. The trend percentage hasn't changed that much. So what has happened is the plan changes that have occurred that have reduced this number.
On a plan where you don't have the changes that you've adopted, typically you'll see that liability number will actually grow. As people earn more benefits, it's really not inflation as much as the premise here is you account for earn it over the working lifetime, and so liability keeps growing. And when the open group and yours, it went down because you've adopted these changes.
Yeah. And then in terms of the practical, in terms of how we would use this in budgeting, so when we go into this budget for 14, would we assume the 7 that this assumes for 14, or do you do your own look ahead at the next year, or do you do a different look ahead at 14 and say,
yeah.
And then at what point do we readjust? I guess I'm trying to understand.
Right. Willis is a separate group of Willis is also the one that works on the healthcare and comes up with the trend percentages. This gives you an idea of kind of the range that you would use, but they're going to specifically look at 14. Mm-hmm. When the OPEB valuation is done, it's a projection at that point in time of, you know, where are things at, where are projections, where are your number of people. It's just a snapshot at that point in time. What you want is your best projection when you're doing 14. You know, should it be a 7, should it be an 8, you know, where we're at. And that's some of the questions that we've asked the other part of Willis is, you know, look what happened to us in, you know, 12. Is that trend going to continue, you know, of the savings that we were showing? I mean, there were plan changes, but there were also, you know, some market things that were going on too. What's happening in 13? What's going on there, and what's going to be some of the trend that we're going to see there? Because you know our savings for 12 was approximately $8 to $9 million, and that, you know, was maybe the number of people who we served. It was maybe a trend factor, you know, the percentage increases in the market. We saw drug change decreases during the year. So we're looking at all of those factors when we're doing a projection for 14. So this gives you an idea of it, but this is for this snapshot in time for this actuarial report.
One thing, if I might add, too, please, is that this really has to do with accrual accounting and disclosure in your financial statement. It's mostly sort of non-cash, if you will, the expense numbers. And so like Scott was mentioning here, is that is a rate projection that looks at the cash expense for next year. And that's sort of underlying all this, but that we were looking like, you know, over the next 30 years, so to speak. And so when you do the short-term projection, you see this kind of thing going on. We have to kind of shoot down the middle to try to dial out volatility, if nothing else. So this is really more accounting stuff, if you will, than cash, per se.
Okay. Thank you. Director Hare?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the $300-some million of change on the trend is something that I think our previous actuary predicted based on some of the design changes that were made. But just to reiterate, one of the biggest changes that we made as a government is that in 1993 we ended this benefit for retirees.
Yeah.
Unlike the state and the city of Milwaukee that continue to provide a post-retirement health care benefit, Milwaukee County does not. You can participate in it but as a retiree, but you pay the full premium cost. So what that means for us is that the line for us is going to go up as health care costs go up in our population of retirees' ages. I think it peaks in like 2028 or somewhere thereabouts. By 2060, it's gone. I know it's a long ways away, but it does start to tail down pretty dramatically as people hired prior to 1993 retire and die. So kind of a good news, bad news scene, but that is a fact that makes us different from other public sector employees or employers in the region.
In the absence of the change, that description going up for a long time, coming out, it would just kept going up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments? Mr. Anderson, if you would fill out a blue card for our record.
Sure.
Appreciate that, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Informational only?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Item number
19.
Item number 19.